I'm going to start reading here at Romans chapter 8, verse number 16. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. So the earth is going through birth pains. So what is happening here? We're calling this manifesting the sons of God. We found out when we say sons, we're not talking about a gender, but we're talking about a mature offspring, a mature offspring. And so what we said is we have three divisions that we went over with you. And one was, there is a man called a natural man. When I say man, I mean mankind as a species. A natural man. And this natural man is basically an unsaved person. An unsaved person according to the scriptures. It says over in Ephesians, and I just want to share that with you, and that's, I won't ask you to turn there. You can see it on the board. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, that he said, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, or conversation means manner of life, in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So what we said is that an unsaved person is a person who is motivated by demons, and that according to the scriptures, they're moved by their flesh, and that the enemy comes in and puts pressure on flesh. The pressure, we call it lust. Lust is not necessarily lusting after some man or some woman. It's just pressures. It's a pressure that comes on the flesh to do a certain thing. And because we had a nature of the enemy, in other words, inside of us was not born again, that the real us were actually children of the enemy because of how we were born, because of Adam's sin, then every one of us was subject to the controlling forces of the enemy. And so what happened was, now it's time that we had to get born again. Jesus came and he talked about being born again and talking about receiving this thing called eternal life. And so now we have the second man called the carnal man, or the babe in Christ. And so the carnal man we talked about also is the man or woman that is born again, but never developed or never grown up. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2 says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. So now God wants us to grow. He wants us to increase more and more. So the born again carnal man we found out in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 is a person, and Paul wrote a letter to him, and he said in verse 1, brethren, I could not speak to you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able, for ye are yet carnal. For where there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? And we found out in Amplified, it says mere men. So to have in the church division or racism or have cliques going on and all of that stuff is a sign of spiritual immaturity. It's a sign of having a person who is born again, but still walking after the dictates of the senses or the flesh. And it says, gives more to that found over in Romans chapter 8. And also in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and also verse 16, it says, no, pardon me, verse 14, it says, but the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them. I'll say that again. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So notice, a natural man thinks the things of God are foolish. A natural person, an unsaved person, thinks tithing is foolish. A natural person, an unsaved person who is told to love thine enemy or love thy neighbor, he thinks that's foolish. A natural person, when God says to forgive those who have offended you, and they think that is foolish. A natural person. I'm just saying this book was not written for a natural person. Now, they can get something out of it, but this book in the New Testament was written, if you get on down and work through it, it was written to not only born-again people, but Holy Ghost-filled people. Now, also that in this, let's go over now to Colossians, if you will, and Colossians in chapter 2. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And over in Colossians chapter 1, if you don't have it, just look on the screen and you can catch it there. Verse 9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. This is a prayer given forth to us by the Apostle Paul. And he's talking about this idea of wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now, if you go on down to verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord and to all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, and to all patience with long suffering and with joyfulness. So in this, he is saying here, well, let me just start first at verse 9, being filled with a knowledge of His will. So we've got to be filled with the knowledge of His will. Now, we had learned some things in the system that we had come from, which is the world system, Babylonian system. But now we're coming over into God's kingdom. And now we've got to be filled with the knowledge of His will. And this, remember, Hosea said it like this, my people are destroyed for what? For lack of knowledge. One of our speakers came here and spoke during the missions conference and says that people think their problem is people are poor. She said people are poor not because they don't have any money, but because they don't have any what? Revelation or knowledge, see? And my point to you is that when something is lingering in your life as a redeemed citizen of God, then what you need to do is go back and get some more knowledge. Because that's what you need. Let's just look at that for just a minute, because that's still on my heart. Let's say you're up against something. Let's go back to Proverbs. Put something right there now. I'm coming right back. Proverbs, and Proverbs chapter 24. Now, how many of you know the Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all? That means that if you're saved, the enemy is going to throw something at you at some point in your life. I mean, he's going to try to tempt you or try to come against you with something or something. That's just the way it is, folks. We're born in the middle of a war. Okay? All right, so now as we look at this, look what it says here in verse 10, Proverbs 24 and 10. If thou faint in the day of adversity, when afflictions come against you, thy strength is what? It's small. Okay? Thy strength is small. So in other words, if you give up when trouble comes, then you don't have much strength. Now, what do we mean, don't have much strength? Well, I'm strengthened in the inner man. Lord have mercy. I'm jumping ahead of myself. Stay with me, okay? So Proverbs 24, verse 5. Look at that one. A wise man is strong. Yea, a man of knowledge does what? He increases strength. A man of knowledge. So what do I need to get stronger? Knowledge. I need knowledge to get stronger. Now, when I'm stronger, getting stronger, I'm not just getting stronger on the outside so I can beat some box somebody. No. I need to be strong in here. Say amen to this. Because ultimately the pressures that are coming on me are going to be coming on me from a spiritual enemy. And I need strength in my spirit to stand. Are you following what I'm saying? I need to be strong on the inside. I don't need to faint when this is coming. So I need to get some knowledge. So Paul prayed that we would increase in knowledge, that we would have knowledge. Come back over here to Colossians then. And look at Colossians again in verse 10, that we might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and doing what? And doing what? Increasing in the knowledge of God. I got to increase in the knowledge. See, God is expecting me to grow up. Let me give you some things. Born again. There is an inheritance for you, but it will not be delivered to you beyond your level of growth. Yoo-hoo. So there's some things that cannot be delivered to you until you grow up. All right, now, how do you grow? And what we found out in Acts chapter 20 and verse 32, Paul says this, I commend thee to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. So notice what's going to build you up. The Word of God. The Word of God is the primary thing that God uses to mature his people. So he's got to give you the Word. Man shall not live by what? Bread alone, but what? Every word that what? Proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So you're born a baby. Now you got to grow. He said, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow. Now, once you get the milk of the word, now you're growing up just like in the natural. Now you can take some solid food. Well, solid food takes a little bit more time to swallow because what I've got to do now is I've got to chew that a little bit. All right. Now we're coming down to something else. The quality of your intake determines the strength of your output. So if a person is getting the milk of the word, they're getting unbelief, they're getting, for example, the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, it talks about Paul sought the Lord three times to take this thing from him. But the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. Now understand, what has probably been preached in some instances is that sometimes God just leaves things on you to teach you. God never uses sickness or anything from Satan to teach his kids. You got what I'm saying? Now, he'll use it to raise you up a little bit higher, but my point to you is that's because you got in it. Got it? So, here's the enemy, and he tries to make the church believe that God wanted to humble Paul and keep him from being raised up too high. Wrong. Wrong answer. Try to keep Paul from pride. Wrong answer. Who is he going to use to keep Paul from pride? The devil. Well, pick somebody else, because the devil, he is pride himself. No. The enemy was trying to keep Paul from being raised up, that he could take that gospel where he's supposed to take it. Folks, it hasn't been preached. God didn't say he wouldn't take it from Paul. That was coming against him was a thorn in the flesh, not a sickness. And if you go back in the Old Testament, you'll see the same term being used, thorn in the flesh. It meant that Satan, everywhere Paul went, was right there buffeting him, right there buffeting him. And what did Paul have to do? He cried to God 3 times, take this thing from me. God said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. In other words, Paul, I'm not going to get it off. You get it off yourself. How about at funerals, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away? And how about we've said things like, God gives a man 70 years, and so forth and so on. And we look at that and start preaching that. Well, if you go in the Amplified, you'll see in Psalm chapter 90, the only reason they got 70 years and that's all they got is because that was a disobedient bunch in the wilderness. See, all of a sudden, now I got locked in my spirit 70 years, and then at 70 years, I'm starting to fear I'm about to die and so forth. Why? Because that's what I've been fed. How about knock and keep on knocking? Luke chapter 11. How about the fact that he said that the man came and the man asked for 3 loaves or some loaves of bread, and the man said, no, my kids are in bed, go away. And he came, and the Bible says because of its importunity or persistence, the man inside got up and gave him as much as he would. Right. And then it says, ask and you shall receive. That seek and you shall find. And in the Amplified it says, ask and keep on asking. And that is not the scripture. The scripture is that you ask once. You ask once. If you ask and believe you received when you pray, why in the world would you ask again? Now, I'm only saying that this is not being preached. What has been happening is this baby food's been out here. Some unbelief, some theological mess has been out here. And you've seen the results of it in the church. Now, when Satan comes and takes Bibles out of schools, the church is silent. What? No knowledge. No knowledge. And since them Bibles been out of them schools, look what's happened. Say amen, somebody. Amen. Oh, I can go all down the list, folks.
Amen.
I can go on. Lies been told. Now, I'm not saying they did it on purpose, but they taught their denomination instead of the kingdom. Yes. They were trying to give you what the brethren handed down and what's accepted in that group rather than what God said. And now here we're coming to a crossroads. You're going to either have to decide to go with Jesus or go with what's popular. Because Jesus said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. There's somebody here. So increase in the knowledge of the Lord. We got to increase. He doesn't want you to be at the same place this year as you were last year. You got to increase. Say amen to that. You should be able to do much more spiritually this year than you could do last year. Come on. You should be able to feed many more people this year than you could last year. You should be able to lay hands on sick and speak to sickness and the sick recover this year much more than you did last year. You got to make up your mind. You want to go somewhere. You're not just coming to church, playing church, and singing songs, dancing around, and going back out there and act just like you used to act. No, the church has had an identity crisis, and we are about to fix it up. We're about to straighten it out. We're coming in here. We're going to show you who you are, where you are, what you got, and how to get it. Now, in this, God now is taking you on purpose into the world. And here's what Jesus prayed in John 17. Father, I pray that you don't take them out of the world, but keep them from the evil. So don't take them out of the world. Now, I know in that job, they're cussing. But don't take them out of the world. I know in that job, come on now, I'm saying in some of these environments, it's ungodly. He knows that. But you shine brightest in darkness. Say amen to that. But see, if you're walking as a baby, then you got to watch babies, because babies, you don't let them go everywhere. Because they'll pick up things too quickly from other folk. But mature believers, they are not ashamed of the gospel. Oh, Lord, I feel like preaching now, but I ain't going to do it because I got to teach. All right, now I want you to follow this now, because our job is to go in and transform a demonic society. That's our job. Now, we're not talking about against people, that God loves people. Say amen to that. But the enemy is using people to do things. So we've got to transform those environments. Everywhere he sends you, he expects you to rule it. Are you with me? All right, let's go to a place. Let's go to Daniel, if you will. Daniel, all right. And Daniel chapter 3. Let's go there first. Are you with me? Is it all right if I tell the truth here today? Daniel in chapter 3. Can we do that? All right, now, understand, let's go to the last one first. It's a spiritual man. Now, the spiritual man has gained mastery over his or her body and physical senses. This person is designed and led by the Spirit. God speaks to them, they do it. A friend of mine yesterday and I were talking, and he started an airline. He's got his first flights going out tomorrow. And he said something. He said, Pastor, the problem with people in the church is they don't want to go and take any risk. Now, they sing about faith, talk about faith. Come on, don't let me go through all of these. He said, but the power comes when you step out. So, all right, let me just look at this. So now, we're going to look here at Daniel. Now, what is happening? Daniel and his friends are in captivity in a place called Babylon. Okay? Now, the enemy is going to do some things to them. And he's doing this with one thing in mind. that he wants to destroy their image of being children of Israel. He wants to disconnect them from their God and make them lose their identity that God had given them. So now, changing their identity, Daniel. So he's trying to get them to eat their food. And Daniel requested that in chapter 1, you can see it, and chapter and a little bit of chapter 2, I think. But anyway, he requested their own diet. Now realize that they taught the Hebrews the language of the Babylonians. So they were forced to learn the language. They were probably forced to dress like the Babylonians. They're probably forced to listen to the Babylonians' entertainment and serve at their functions and so forth. So they were exposed to it. And the enemy did some things to try to even further separate them from their own colony or culture. He renamed them. And Hananiah. Hananiah was one of the three Hebrews. It means beloved of God. And the enemy renamed him Shadrach. Shadrach means under the command of Achor, the moon demon god. The next one was Azariah. That means who the Lord helps. They renamed him Abednego. It means servant of Nego, not Negro, Nego, okay? Which was a demon god. And then the last one was Mishael, which means who is like God. And they named Mishael Meshach. And Meshach means who is like Aku, the demon god. Now notice, the idea is whoever names you rules you. So these names were intended to make them lose their identity, not only lose their identity, but lose their vision. Because what has happened, even in this modern day culture, we kind of name folk whatever sounds cute. And I've seen some names that I'm trying to figure out, how did they come up with that? And you ask them, do you know what it means? They have no idea what it means. Now let me just take you through this. Some tell me to stop right here for a minute. So these names, something got to happen with these names. In the Hebrew, and God taught them this in the Old Testament, they would have a birth, and that child would come into the world, and they would name that child on the eighth day. That is the day the child would be circumcised. By that time, they would have consulted God and observed the child, and out of that would have come the name. Now, a name is important because it is something that's supposed to gravitate you towards your purpose and the vision that God has for your life. My name means William. Protector. When the name comes in, It had a lot to do with their destiny, Jacob. Why? Because at one time in his life, he was going to deceive somebody. Abram, his name was Abraham. What did God do with his name? Change it, because they had to change his destiny through his name. Come on now, I'm talking about what Babylon did to names to try to keep you from your wealthy place. Come on, somebody say amen here. Look at all the people they named, renamed Esther, renamed, you name it. That's what that world system did. So I'm saying, with us, we should consult God as to what to name this baby. Not just if something dropped off the kitchen table and hit the floor and it sound tickle. You say, well, let's name that baby Tiku. That, are you following what I'm saying? I'm saying, all right, that's all I'm going to say about that, because now, let's look at what happened. You remember Jabez? You remember that? You remember? Come on, you remember all those names, don't you? I had a bunch of them down here somewhere. I did a whole thing on that. Boy, that thing got interesting last night. I'm telling you. Okay. All right. So, here is Daniel, and they're in here. And notice, they're doing these things in captivity. But now, there's a line drawn. Because what happened is, some of the people conspired and getting Nebuchadnezzar now to make this image. And when you hear the music playing, well, Nebuchadnezzar did it probably. And when you hear the music playing, you're supposed to bow down and worship. Well, now Daniel and them, or the three Hebrews, they weren't going to do that. Because there's only so far I'm willing to go in terms of being a part of the world system. Do you follow what I'm saying here? I'm saying that here they were supposed to follow. Let me just skip through this because I got somewhere to go. So look at verse 15 of Daniel chapter 3. Now if you be ready at what time you hear the sound, the cornet, the flute, the harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if you worship not, you shall be cast same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? All right. We're manifesting the sons of God now. Stay with me. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. In other words, we're not worried about what's going to happen to us. Do you hear what I'm saying? Verse 17. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from this burning fiery furnace. Watch this. And he will, what? Deliver us out of your hand, O king. Now, did they say that? Verse 18. But if not. If not what? Not if not, he doesn't deliver us. Folks, this is what I'm talking about. For you to stand in the face of death, you're going to have to know something. You're going to have to know something when a man tells you, or the professional tells you, you got so-and-so. Yeah. Now you got to know something. Yeah. Hallelujah. Jesus. You've got to know something. And that's what the church hasn't been. And that's why the church has been in almost as bad a shape as the world. Because we didn't know anything. And they knew something. They knew that the God that they serve, he will deliver them. Hallelujah. in the face of capital punishment, that the enemy was going to kill him. But if you know your God, they that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. The supernatural. You're designed for the supernatural. The time for possibility thinking in your life is over. Everything now, God is moving you into the impossible. He is making it so that you will be able to stand out like a well thumb. He is making it so. Now, what you got to do is you got to realize that, wait a minute. I need the maturity. I need to understand that, wait a minute, I'm not living for my flesh anymore. I'm going to live for my spirit. And decide that. Now, you got to stop getting upset about every little thing that happens. Say amen to that. Look at Moses. You got to watch your associations. Hold. I want to bring this. I want to get this right here. Because this is that last group. I can give you this. Say amen here. I'm saying that God is taking you somewhere. And where God is taking you, you cannot take negative folk. I'm preaching better than you saying amen now. There are people around you that may be toxic for you. And I'm telling you the truth, they don't want to go anywhere, and they don't want you to go anywhere. And what you've got to do is you've got to make up your mind to surround yourself with positive outcome, positive associations, positive living, positive talking, positive people who feed on positive things. You cannot get up and do the impossible and surround yourself with a bunch of negative folk. If you do, it cannot be for long. You can't get in there and just associate with them and lock yourself in with them. They are not going anywhere, folks. I am not saying hate or be mean. I'm just saying, hey, 15 minutes with them is enough. Then listen, if it's on the phone, 15, I'm talking about manifesting who you are. See, if you're going to grow, you need the right soil. You need the right environment. You cannot just feed on that all the time. Folks, the worst time to listen to the news is when you're about to go to bed at night. Turn that news off because it feeds into your subconscious, and your subconscious begins to chew on it all night while you sleep. Now you get up, you wonder why you're looking negative. You wonder why you're thinking negative thoughts because you fed them in there before you went to bed. Turn that off. Feed in there. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Now put that in there. It's negative folk. It's negative reports. And look what happened. The leaders brought back an evil report. It wasn't a positive report. We are well able. Let us go up at once. You go around people. Well, you know that old preacher down there, all he wanted is y'all money down there. See, that is negative. You don't need that. If there's something about that preacher you need to know, God will teach you. God will show you. God, if you just want to come get to work, come get it. If you don't want to give nothing, I ain't going to give nothing. Well, fine. Sit there, shut your mouth, and get the word. Because pretty soon you'll get enough so that you can give enough so that you can be a millionaire that God has called you to be before you ever was born into this earth. It is time over for negative folk. It's time over for the negative input in your life. You come here, get a good injection of the word of God, and God is positive. Say it. God is positive. He's not negative. He's positive. When negative comes, it ain't God. He's not talking negative. Say amen to that. You don't need a dose of bad news every day. You need some good news. Then you need the joy of the Lord. You need the peace of God. to deal with them, but that's why I read you last time. Jesus, the runners came to Jesus and said, Jesus, your mother and your brothers are out there and they want you to come out of here. What was he doing? Teaching the word of God, preaching the gospel, healing the sick, delivering the oppressed. Now, why would they want him to come out of there? Because he was moving outside of their level of security. He was, see, when you become positive and you've been negative all your life, all of a sudden you come home talking positive, you make them feel insecure because their security has been built up on your negative. And soon as you start moving out, they feel that they ain't moving nowhere. Folks, let them go. Let them go. Let them go. Let them go. I'm talking to somebody now. What happened to Moses? He told Moses the first time they wanted water, he told him to do what to that rock? Strike the rock with a stick, remember? And Moses struck the rock and out gushed water. How much water? Not no little trickle, 18 million gallons. And so next thing he did, they got in another place, and because God kept moving them around, they said, we don't have any water, we don't have any water. Well, Moses, you know, he said, you bunch of, you know. And God said, Moses, don't strike the rock this time. Speak to it. Why is he doing? He's taking them from knowledge to knowledge. He's taking them from faith to faith. He's taking them from glory to glory. Man, don't strike it. Speak to it. Well, he got frustrated with that bunch. What did he do? Took that rod, boom. Struck it twice. And what did God said? Moses, for that, you're not going to go over. Jesus. Don't come to me anymore. Don't talk to me anymore. You have just signed your death warrant in terms of not going over there. You cannot go over. You have changed my plan for your life. It's over. Now don't come to me. And wouldn't let him come. He came to him twice more. Nope. Nope. Because he won't always chide. At a certain point, he's saying, wait a minute, I have worked with you long enough. Now I need somebody that's ready to go. Step to the side and bring me Joe. Nobody's gonna take my place. Nobody, you ain't gonna frustrate me to the point that I'm gonna strike a rock. I'm gonna follow God all the way. If you don't wanna go, stay here. Some people, and they just a waste of your time. They really are, folks. I'm telling you. I'm doing flying recurrency now in training. I'm a pilot. And every time I go out there, I get around people who are positive again. And so, man, this is so refreshing. Ooh, glory to God. Hey, how you doing? Yeah. Great, great. Yeah, praise God. I mean, I felt so good. I was on the headset yesterday, and before I knew it, slipped out of my mouth. I was talking to people at the tower. I said, well, God bless you. Praise the Lord. Yes, 39 probably, turning right. I mean, just felt good. I know what Moses was up against. He knows what you're up against. You've been placed in the middle of that. But live from the inside. Don't let your flesh take control of you, because God is taking you to your promised land. To your promised land. Ah, Lord. Now you realize this. Some folk may not want to come to church with you. Leave them right there. When the devil pops their behind long enough, they gonna want to come. Because it's about to get pretty tough out there. I said it's about to get pretty tough. And you're gonna need some knowledge. That's what I'm saying. Just don't, I find out that, hey, wait a minute, Bill Winston, everybody doesn't like you. See, I'm trying to make everybody like me. Oh, yeah, everybody don't like you. Everybody don't like you. That's true. Don't be looking at me. Everybody don't like you. Folks, excellence has been on my mind for a long time. To fly fighters like I did and get shot at as many days as I got shot at and come back, excellence, I know God is in it, but you've got to have some knowledge. You've got to shoot for some excellence. To come and work in the companies that I've worked in business and do well, I was competing with folks who were excellent. I love excellence. And there are people that want to pull you down to mediocrity. I don't like mediocrity. It bothers me. Now, I can't show that to everybody because I know people are trying to raise themselves up. But you see me put up things or the Joseph School or what we're doing here, you'll see excellence. But folks, I have to work sometime to maintain that. Because there are folk who want to come in and change. Are you following what I'm saying? There's nothing wrong with wanting to increase in knowledge. I want to get better. I want everything we have for you to be better. I want to be an example that you can point. I know you can point at Abraham, but he's gone. You can point at me. I said, Bill Winston is doing this thing. So I'm just saying this. And no matter where you are, I mean, my grandmother and them, they were lived in the country. And but you go to their yard anytime. They didn't have any grass. They were out there in dirt. They were country folk, farmers. Didn't have much. But you know, they had an old yard broom. And that yard broom just spread the dirt real neat. Are you following what I'm saying? You might not have much, but make excellent what you got. Have people always looking at you and thinking because you're a certain ethnic group that you do secondhand stuff? Uh-uh. Won't happen. Not with God's people. Say amen to that. Y'all mind me talking about things like this? Daniel had an excellent spirit and it promoted him. Excellence will promote you. It's defined as attention to detail that gives rise to superior performance that leads to promotion in God. That's excellence. And every one of us can have it. And it alone will promote you. Go to a restaurant and eat some food. And you take one bite. What is this? Okay. Then go to the next one. You take, ooh, man, this is delicious, isn't it? Well, go around somebody 2 days from now and they say, hey, where's a good restaurant? You say, oh, down there at Bill Winston Place. Boy, they serve some good food down. Why? Because it promotes you. People want to be around you. Now, I know there are people who might not care what I'm talking about right now because I am not jumping all over the place and spitting and snotting and caring. But this you need to know. Say amen to that. Now just sit here, don't move. I'm almost done. As a matter of fact, I'm out of time, praise God. But wait a minute, I just want to give you one more thing. And don't move now, don't move, that's not excellence. Amen. Do you know in the military, when you go to basic training, you finish basic training, you sit up. And you sit up talking to somebody scratching your head, do you know that that's a way of showing disrespect? Your eyes are right on them, and you don't move them. Now, you ain't trying to stare nobody down, but you follow what I'm saying? That's excellence. I'm giving some basic things now because it's some basic things that we've been missing. Is this all right if we do this? Let me just give you one more thing, we'll be out. You need all of it. You need all of it. Okay. Okay. Now, we're raising up leaders in here. I don't consider you followers. You are leaders. Say amen to that. All right, one more, please. Hey, man! Mm-hmm. Okay, last place. So now, what happens? The church, we've got to grow up. Why? Because God is taking us into the promised land. And you've got to be spiritual when you go in there. Why? Because you're going to run up against giants. You're going to run up against giants. Now turn with me one more place, Daniel chapter 7, please. Not Daniel chapter 7. By the way, what happened when they got thrown into the fiery furnace? What happened to them? They would not what? Burn. When you stand for God's righteousness, His righteousness protects you. God protects you when you stand for righteousness and judgment. Let's go over to Deuteronomy chapter 7 real quick. You know, y'all let me slow down sometimes, because I can really teach you some stuff. I mean, I'm not trying to teach you because I know more than anybody else or whatever, but God has given me some things only because I'm your pastor. And He's giving me these things to give you so you can really, really accelerate. Look what it says here. And now understand, we've got a generation out here today that we got to reel back in. Because this is the first generation that has gone backwards. So we've got some serious work to do, folks. Say amen to that. Now the church can do it because two things that Jesus had was wisdom and might. And they came from anointings. And the anointing, that same anointing, is on your life. That you got enough wisdom to solve any problem that's in the world. Whatever problem that's in the world, you can solve it with the wisdom of God. Say amen to that. Okay. Now, so this last place, Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land where thou goest to possess it, and has cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. I want to stop right there. Greater and mightier than thou. Now understand what I said about you. You have moved into the supernatural. You have moved into the supernatural. I said something last time and I didn't say it right. Democracy basically does not trust God's order many times. So I'm not saying it's anti-God, but it doesn't trust true theology. Because true theology, in terms of the order of God, says basically that God is one God, and that the order is that God uses one man, one person. In other words, you don't vote on stuff in the church. In other words, I mean, you can vote on stuff, but the things that God has planned for the church don't need a vote. Are y'all with me? Okay, now, I'll go over that next time. Just keep in mind the fact that God's order is, and that's what the enemy wants to pervert. He wants to pervert God's order so that people won't trust their man of God, but they want to form a committee to see if he's doing the right thing. And let the deacon board run the pastor, or let the trustee board tell the pastor what to do. It ain't happening here, because we're going under the order of God. Say amen to that. And if God's not, if something God needs to deal with the man of God with, He will deal with him. Say amen to that. Now, here's what I want to tell you. Let's just take two spirits out of this group. One, let's take Hivites. And second, let's take Hittites. The Hittite spirit is that spirit that manifests itself mainly in those who are broken, those who have been abused, hurt, and those who are kind of fearful about things. And the objective is to instill doubt and unbelief in those people. Now, that Hittite spirit affects Christians and tries to make them fearful in especially financial matters. The Hittite spirit, Hittites were the sons of Heth, H-E-T-H. And Heth was the second son of Canaan, found over there in Genesis chapter 10. That it means, the word means terror. Terror. Okay? Now, so this Canaanite word came and it means to prostrate, to break down either by violence or by confusion and fear. Now you saw that in Daniel, because what Nebuchadnezzar did is he tried to heat the furnace up 7 times hotter than normal. How many of y'all know that? All right. When he did that, what was he trying to make the 3 Hebrews do? Trying to make them bow. That spirit of the Hittites is designed to make you be afraid, to beat you down, to discourage you, or to dismay you, or make you scared or terrify you. That is a Hittite spirit. I remember this lady at that time, she was staying way out by herself. It was a true story from what I heard. And she was out on a farm, and she was an older lady, maybe around 80 years old. And some prisoners had broken out of the prison that wasn't far from her. And one prisoner was still on the loose. And he broke in the door, and the door flew open, and he had a gun. And he told the lady, and she was busy cooking, and the door broke open, and he said, "Put your hands up." And she was just cooking. He said, "Do you hear me?" I said, "Put your hands up." She turned around. "You better put that gun down and get something to eat." And ended up taking him back to jail. That was a Hittite spirit designed to beat you down. But what happened, because she's strong on the inside. Say amen to that. That even though those spirits, he said, are greater and mighty than you, that now greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He's not talking about people. He's talking about the demon spirit that's driving the people that are designed to make you bow. And I'm telling you, that's where your flesh can't have nothing to say about it. The only thing you want to have something to say about it is your spirit. Say amen to that. So now, in this, she ended up taking him back to the prison. And in this, there is that, remember Job? Job said, "The thing that I feared most, what happened? It came upon me." That fear is designed to paralyze you and break you down. That fear is designed to make things come out of your mouth that you never would have said. That fear, but notice what the 3 Hebrews said. Come on, Nebuchadnezzar was trying to get him to bow, but notice that spirit, it was working with Nebuchadnezzar. Can I just tell you this? Can y'all handle what I'm telling you now? Because you got to grow up. When people in the world are working like that, especially people in high positions many times, and I'm not talking about everybody, but I'm saying that a lot of times they have been put there by the Spirit. Those spirits have put them there. Remember when Daniel was fasting 21 days, now the angel Gabriel came. And the angel Gabriel finally broke through. He said, "From the first day you prayed, I heard you. I was on my way." So the first day you prayed, God heard you. He was on his way. Say amen to that. But he said, "I had to fight and I had to call for Michael, because I had to fight through the prince of Persia." Now notice, Persia had a king. But the king of Persia was being totally controlled by the strong man of Persia, which is a demon. So the demons control the people and tell the people what to do. Boy, y'all, come on now, don't. Is this too much? Now, who is designed in this earth to go up against the devil? We are. That's why you've been raised up. People who don't know God have no match for the devil. He can sink their boat before sundown. My point to you is, you're the one to go before, go match to match with the devil. Now watch this. When Jesus went over to the other side, he was in the boat. What came up? What came up? A storm. What was the storm designed to do? It was designed to kill him, sink that boat. Am I right about it? Well, what did he meet when he got to the other side? A demoniac, and the demoniac was filled with what? Demons. And those demons were controlling him and using him as a medium to control the weather. And he said, what is your name? He said, my name is what? Legion, for we are what? Many. What was Legion? He was the name of the strong man that every demon reported to. Folks, y'all, let me come over here. My point to you is that he the rulers of holding Persia was really demon rulers. Amen. Remember, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers and all that. This is what we wrestle against. We're not mad at people. It's the devil that's driving people. If we can stop the devil, we can stop the people. Say amen to this. To get our stuff, because you've been thinking that people been holding it. I got some news for you. The devil's been holding it, but the Bible says he's a strong man, and God has sent us to invade the strong man's house. How can a man take back his goods except he first bind the strong man? Some of you should be much further along than you are right now. Come on. Some people in here should have 3-4 businesses. Some people in here, come on, should have your, because God had planned that for you. But the enemy has resisted you, and he's used a system to do it. But I'm giving you some revelation. Now, the last thing is this. Glory to God. Are you with me? The last thing is, the last spirit is a Hivite spirit. And that's a spirit of deception. And it means literally villager of wickedness. Now, what does it mean, villager? It means in business. It's a business partner, a one who works with you or somebody. But they don't have right motives. They have come to you for what they can get. And it's a seducing spirit. And it's caused the many people to depart with their money, with their name, with their reputation, and it just wants from you what it can get. If you'll see get-rich-quick schemes, you'll see somebody sending you a letter from Africa or somewhere saying, if you'll just send $40,000 to this account, I will release $5 million that's being held for you. Don't even send it back. I'm here to tell you right now that if it quacks like a duck, walks like a duck, looks like a duck, it's probably a duck. The devil is a liar, and you can see through that, because he can deceive the world, but he can't deceive you. All you got to do is stop a minute. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Sandalabahaya. Lord, show me what this thing is. And God will show you everything that the devil is using to try to deceive you. You can cut him off and take back the goods that he stole from everybody. Give the Lord a praise. That's all I got. I'm trying to get this thing up. Every one of those seven spirits is a spirit. Every one of them. It wasn't the men who were holding that land. It was the spirits using the men to hold them. And you cannot fight them without going up in the spirit. That's why he couldn't let baby Christians go in there. They'd be slaughtered. He had to wait till they grew up. And Joshua got them grown up. Now they were under control. And when Joshua led them in there, here's what God said. As a battle of Jericho, here's what I want you to do. March around that wall one time a day for 6 days. And on the last day, you march around 7 days. And then when you get through, I want you to blow that trumpet and just shout. Now listen, that didn't make sense to the flesh. As a matter of fact, he told them, while you're marching, don't even talk to one another. And notice how you got to put your flesh under not to talk to somebody while you're in the middle of a battle. Say amen. But they said that and they walked around this. I remember that guy told me, he said, Pastor, I went down to buy a car and they looked at our credit after we picked out the car and said, we can't do anything for you. And I said, oh, and I sat back in the chair with my wife and God spoke to me and said, go get up and march around the car 3 times. He said, I got up. Told my wife, come on with me, and we marched right on the showroom floor, started marching around that car, started marching around. The man wondered what we were doing. I'm telling you, on the walls of Jericho, I know they were wondering, what they doing down there? And the newspapers were carrying it, that men are marching around the walls, making a fool out of themselves. They didn't know them walls are about to come down. I'm saying, sometimes God will tell you, just march around it, because it's going to be by grace and grace alone. It's not going to be by your works. And so as they marched, they sat down in the chair with the man and God said, tell him to check it again. He said, would you check my credit again? The guy said, I don't understand. I just checked it. He said, no, check it again, sir. Please, would you? He said, I must have done the wrong thing. Wait, let me check it. God had erased credit and reverse the credit score. I'm telling you, see, there are people in here that don't believe in the supernatural. And that's why we had Brother Herzog to come here. It's time for you to get gold in your mouth and you never went to the dentist. It's time to get your leg fixed and you never went to the doctor. It's time to get that passing score on that ACT and you know you didn't study. It's time, are you following what I'm saying? Whatever you do, it's going to be supernatural. God is going to work things because he's going to manifest the sons of God. Oh, business deals are coming. Contracts are coming. Favor, favor, favor. This is the time for the set favor of God. God's about to put you on the road. God's about to put you on the map. God's about to put your business. Now, you don't need to believe. And that's the problem. Sit down for just a minute. In the church where we should have only believers, we've had unbelieving believers. No. If God spoke it, take it. And he said, in these last days, he's going to speak. And he's going to speak by a prophet. Folks, I got to quit. But let me tell you something. Who is that? The book just before Nehemiah. Ezra. Ezra and them were building the temple. And here come some people say, let me help you. They helped them all right. Stopped them for over 100 years. Because they hooked up with the wrong spirit. Now what started the building back? A prophet. One of them was Zechariah, not by might nor by power. Zerubbabel. He says, start the building. Excuse me. There's healing in that, praise God. But start the building. Just a word from the prophet. They acted on the word from the prophet. Next thing you know, the king did a study, found out that Darius or whoever did give him permission to do it. Next thing you know, the king said, hey, I don't even want you to, I want you to do it speedily, so I'm going to pay for it. See, when you start the motions, faith, favor, all that kicks in. But he started it on one thing, on the word of a prophet. I'm giving you the word now. Start the building. There's a vision that God has placed in your heart. Go for it. Go for it. Did y'all get something out of this today? Praise God. Okay, here's the deal. Would you please just wait on me for just a moment? If you're here, God's spoken to your heart, and you don't know Jesus Christ, I want the privilege of praying for you like they prayed for me. That saved my life forever. I thought just because I had been in church when I was a young boy that I was fine. But things got progressively worse in my life. And I found out a scripture that said this, the way of the transgressor gets hard. I'm here to tell you, God has a better way. I gave my life to Him, supernaturally healed my body. Gave my life to Him, supernaturally took me out of debt. Oh no man, nothing today. Gave my life to Him, supernaturally got promoted at my job and computers at IBM. Gave my life to Him, look what He's done to my life.